All right. So good to see everyone out this evening. I am so blessed and humbled to be here with God's people studying God's word. Unfortunately, this is the last lesson of what the Christian's responsibility is. I'm sad to say that it's over for me and Brother Sonny, but we have thoroughly enjoyed being able to share with you all different topical subjects concerning what the Christian's responsibility is. And I'm appreciative for all the comments. I'm appreciative for all the participation. And we're just thankful to have a group like this to come together to study God's word so that we can grow and become better men and women of God. So as you know, this is the last one. And we will be talking about the Christian's responsibility toward the community. And it's funny that Brother Sonny seems to always get the easy ones. I just always, it's just false like that, I guess. But we will be looking at 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 11 through 17. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 17. So I'd like for you to turn your Bibles or electronic devices to 1 Peter chapter 2. All right. And the infallible word of God reads, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject of the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you shall put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Love everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." So looking at verse 11, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul." To have a different way of life. And Peter gives another exhortation reminding the readers of their social status. What is our social status as Christians? Okay. What are we? "Beloved, I urge you as..." Right. So as aliens and strangers, right, I'm telling you to abstain from the passions. That's our social status. He says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and strangers in this world to abstain from your sinful desires, which wage war against your soul." We all know and we understand that sinful desires are an enemy of our spiritual health. We can all agree with that, right? But they can be resisted. He's letting us know that they can be resisted, right? And so one goal of good behavior is to do what as believers? Since we live in a world filled with darkness, as believers, one of our goals should be what when it pertains to the gospel? Not just share it, but do what? If people are going to believe the gospel truth, if we're going to say that we are believers and followers of Christ, we should be putting the gospel in a what? An example, into action, and in a good light. That's important. We can't proclaim to be believers and the gospel is looked upon as something that we don't even follow, that we don't hold true to.
So it's very important to do so. And we'll get to why. Okay? So it's to be in a good life. So in order to do that, we have to live good among whom? Non-believers. Absolutely. Why? Right. Because if they see you, if the pagans see you, if the Gentiles, which in turn they're saying non-believers, those who have not obeyed the gospel, non-Jews, see you, they can do what? I'm looking for something else. Nope. The pagans. If the pagans see us misbehaving and not representing Christ, what can they do? Right. Accuse you of doing wrong, which in turn gives them the excuse of why they don't need to obey the gospel. Because every time that you hear, there are people to say, that's why I don't go to church. That's why I'm not religious. You see the CC, that preacher that did what he did? You see them people there that call themselves Christians? That's why I do not go to church. But when we are exemplifying the characteristics of Christ, and we are doing what we're supposed to do, they get to see what? Our what? What did it say in verse 12? They get to see our good deeds and good works, so that, as Larissa said, who gets the glory? God. This is important when it comes to our responsibility in the community. It's a big deal. As Christ came to seek and do what? How can we save the lost if our behavior does not exhibit that of Christ? It won't. We can't bring the outside in if the inside looks like the outside. The purpose of coming in the inside is for what reason? Why did we come in here? Why did you want to come from the outside into the inside? For salvation, to be saved, to change your life that was which you were living contrary to the will of God. That's why we come on the inside. In Titus chapter 2, looking at verse 8. The word of God says, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. We should be able to put people to shame based on how we live, simply alone, before we even open our mouths. But most of the time, there's two things. It's the uneducation of the scriptures that keep us, and sin that we have in our lives. So a lot of times people who are afraid, it's not just, well, you know, I don't know what to say. Not because I'm not a great speaker. You're not educated enough or confident enough in what to say. Or you got sin in your life and you already know that you don't want to be a hypocrite. So you don't do either. So it's important for us, if we're going to be a beacon of light, if we're going to be a representative of Christ's church, to help the community, to bring them in, to show love to them, to show them the characteristics of Christ, we have to make sure that we're spiritually healthy and we're doing what we need to do. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 1, it says, all who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their master worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. So in all that we do, even with those who are authority figures over us, right? We have to make sure that we're doing what we need to do. So whether for good or for bad, the message is often judged by the behavior of the messenger. Now looking at, let's go to verse 13. It says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. So as part of good behavior, Christ wants us to be and expects for us to be what? What we call law-abiding citizens. Absolutely. That is the expectation. That is what God wants. He wants us to be law-abiding citizens. So you cannot use, because you don't agree with the laws that are set, that you can break them. Especially if it does not, if it's not contrary to the will of God. I don't like the fact that they got speed bumps in the community to keep people from driving fast, and you flying through there because you don't like it. That's why they put them up there in the first place. So we have to submit ourselves for whose sake? When we're talking about being citizens, we submit ourselves for whom's sake? Verse 13, yeah, for the Lord's sake. Verse 13, for the Lord's sake. To what? Yes, to every human authority. Just FYI, I'm giving y'all the cheat sheet. It's in the scriptures. So if y'all follow along with me, in the verses when I'm asking the questions, it's in the scriptures. So I'm not trying to be, I'm just letting you know so y'all can follow along. It's in 2 Peter chapter 11. We're in verse 13. I'm sorry, chapter 2, verses 11 through 18. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 18. That's what we're looking at. And I'm in verse 13, at verse 13. So we are to submit ourselves to the Lord for the Lord's sake, to every human authority, right? Whether it be whom? Right. The reason why I'm saying it, I wanted you all to say it with me, because a lot of people got issues with those who are of authority. And I think sometimes it's good for us to read it and see it for ourselves. So even though you don't agree, if the laws are set by an authority figure, whether it be the governor or who has the supreme authority, sets those in place, for the Lord's sake, we are to submit ourselves. Absolutely, brother, and I agree with you 100%. And if they do not, if the laws do not, and they do not go against the will and the authority of God, and they are not sinful, we ought to do what's right, right? So 1 Peter chapter 2, looking at verses 13, I'm sorry. Yeah. So here's what I would do. Anybody mind reading for me? Johnny, Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to stop right there. See that? That's a good verse to go to immediately for those who feel as if they can do what they want to do, misuse the scripture, and feel like, hey, I don't have to do this, blah, blah, blah. Boom. I'll take them there. Go ahead, Johnny. And remember, we talked about this. So again, like you said, Brother James, Peter's given a general advice, not an absolute rule. If rulers command a sin, we should not obey. I mean, I don't agree with everything that my wife does. Yes, I do, babe. I was trying to make a point. I really was trying to make a point. I take that back. It's gonna be a long trip to Memphis. But no, it's kind of like the difference between being angry and not sinning. You know, so you don't have to agree with those things, but if those laws are set into place and they are not sinful and they do not are contrary to the will of God, then yes, you know, it's okay to disagree. And disobey. Yeah. Right, so it's kind of like the same thing of you telling your children, here's the rules, this is what it is. They ain't gonna always agree. But they cross the line when they disobey, rather than, I don't like the fact that I got a curfew. You may not like it, but you have to abide by it. And as long as you don't break that, then you are right. No? Right. Right. That's not good. But if it's an issue of that is the evil law, then I cannot in conscience obey that law. My faith in God is greater than my obedience to the human government that we're protecting. Right. And go ahead, Brother Sonny. Go back.
He sent him back to who?
His master.
So his master. Does that mean Paul was essentially slavery? Of course not. But the reason why
Go ahead, brother. You got something too, Johnny? Okay, then Johnny, go ahead. Right, right. Go ahead, John, and then you, Brother Clark. Thank you, brother.
We don't have to sit back and take it, though. I mean, if our governor, our president does something we don't agree with, we can vote him out of office. That's part of our government process. And so while we have respect for the office of the president or the office of the senator or whatever, we don't have to stand back and let them drag our country through the mud. Policies that we disagree with, let's change them. We can vote to do that. God is seeing over that.
Mm-hmm.
But when a congressman or a president or whatever stands up and lies to the American people,
mm-hmm.
I think we have an obligation to point those things out to try and make this a better, more godly place to live. Not saying, well, we still pay our taxes. We're still giving honor to the government, but we don't let them run roughshod. And that's, our Constitution says the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. You start breaking those words down, it's pretty intense.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, we do have the right, and that's law, right? I mean, you're not breaking any laws by being able to have the freedom of speech. Right? Or being able to have a voice about the things that you do disagree with. But as long as we aren't breaking the law and not committing sin, then there's nothing wrong with disagreeing. There's nothing wrong with challenging even if you disagree with certain things, because we have the right to do so. So, okay. Sister, and then you... Yes, ma'am. I agree. Go ahead, brother.
What's
Right. Respect that. Right. They did. So, hold on, I got you, Brother Sonny. Verse 15 says, for it is God's will that by doing good, you can do what? So the ignorant talk and the stuff that foolish people say and deal with. So we can respond and we should have conviction. We should stand up for the truth. But what God wants us to do, even when we are disagreeing, even when there is persecution, I need for us to understand, I know it's easier said than done, but these are the words of God. And I need for you all to understand, these aren't just what I think. These are the words of God. So when we talk about it, I want us to stick to the text and understand what the word of God is saying. So God wants us to respond to persecution. And when we disagree with stuff and when we stand up for what is right, even though we're the only person standing while everybody else is sitting, we do so with good behavior. And that's the key. And as long as we do so with good behavior and not rebellion, we'll let our faith be seen as harmless. And that's important. It's okay to be radical, but the moment you go far, it's no different than taking two planes and running into two towers because of what you believe. And so we have to be cognizant of this to make sure that we do so with good behavior. Go ahead, Brother Sonny. Right. Absolutely. I'm going to get to that. Y'all, I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to. It's all right. It's all right. I'm trying to tell you. You know, what I'm trying to tell you is it's in my lesson. I'm gonna address it. I'm going to get there. I'm trying to get there for what time is about, but I am going to address it. I promise you. What you got, Larissa? Right. Right. That's right. Here's another thing. Here's another thought. As much as we don't like and we have the ability to disagree, or we don't like this, we don't like that, or we don't like who is presently running the country, or the governors and senators and all of that, right? If we were to be persecuted, if we were to live in a country where none of that was happening, and we weren't free to do so, somebody tell me, what are we free in? Absolutely. That's the goal. That's the mindset. We are free in Christ. And what we should not do is allow our freedom to be used as a cover-up for evil and live as God's slaves. Live under God's rules. Yes, we have to live here. But here's the thing. I'm going to go ahead because it was some stuff, because it was about the Christianity in the world. And there are two distinct opposing ideas, right? And so it all ties in. I wanted to address this but it all ties in that we have this concept that the world is wholly evil, doomed to destruction, right? You have Christians who want to withdraw themselves as much as possible from the contact of the world. That's one concept, because ultimately this is about our responsibility to the community, all right? And the other one is, it's a sinking ship, and it can't be saved, so I'm going to save myself from going down with this ship. So I'm going to keep it to myself, and I'm going to make sure. So therefore, the Christian must disassociate himself from the world, right? So he's to live like a recluse, isolate himself, and withdraw from society. That's right. Y'all with me? So the concept is what has been given, and we've seen this before, of one forming this religious community, of this self-sustaining community to avoid contact with the outside world. So beginning very early, in the Christian era, we found groups and women too, especially, who secluded themselves and devoted themselves to prayer and meditation and lived with these high walls and remote areas in the desert mountains, right? And they lived off charity of others and raised their own food and made their own clothing, buffering their bodies, trying to weaken or destroy all appetites of the flesh. And there are just different ways that this has come together. So you don't necessarily have to live on a farm or somewhere else. You can do this in your own home, right? And the opposing idea, right? So we got the two distinct, and then the opposing is the primary mission of the church. Now we're talking about our responsibilities to the community. Right. The primary mission of the church is to remake and renovate the world in which we live, give our lives toward to making a better world. Right. And devote our time to working for the world, for peace and overcoming poverty and disease and ignorance. Right. We seek for better legislation when we don't like it. Protect the rights of minorities, to assure justice and equality for men, to give decent homes in which one can live and all of these things. Right. But the church is to be found in bettering the conditions of the present world. So this is the opposing idea. So when you have all of that going on, so you got the one who is a recluse, and then you have the one who thinks that the church's responsibility, right, is to do all these things. But all together, think about it, doing all this, little time, little thought or attention is given to the world to come. So what I'm saying is, this is known as the social gospel. On one end, you got recluse, and you got the other end, well, this, you got to do this. This is a social gospel concept. And it means that the main business of the church has to do with this present world and not the world to come. So when you brought that up, sister, we should be focusing on the fact that we are sojourners. This is not our home, right? Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Somebody real quick. So actually, and it's so often the case, the real truth of Christianity lies between these two extremes. The Christian's primary mission in life, of course, is to prepare himself for the external existence with God. His brief span of time upon this earth is in the nature of probation, every period, right, of preparation for that endless existence which lies beyond death. So the most vital part of this preparation that we should be worried about and thinking about is our eternal state, right? And it's essential, right? And an inescapable responsibility for us, right? So we must do good unto all. My point is, we can escape the responsibility that we have to the community because we don't agree with certain things that go on. Because we have a responsibility to share what? The gospel, right? He is to live. We are to live our very best, right? And with our ability, right? And be a productive member of society, as well as not forgetting that this world is not our home. So we have two loyalties that we have to be mindful of. A citizen of two worlds. One is the present world in which we now live, and the other is the city whose builder and maker is God. So we have a responsibility. So we got to be preparing ourselves for this while we still live. What is the saying that we say? We live in this world, but not of the world. So we have a responsibility. We can't negate that we need to be doing certain things, right? And here's the most important part of that. Here you have the world and you have salt. And we all know about what we're supposed to be, right? The salt, right? So we say we're the salt, but here's the earth. Tell me what's important about the salt again. It helps to do what? Preserve. It's a substance, right, that's important. But in order for it to work, what does the salt have to do? Yes, it has to be put on. So if you are a recluse and you are separated and you got your feelings all into it except what God has commanded you to do, then you're not making contact and your responsibility to the community is being avoided. And we have to make sure that we're doing this. So the only way we can do this is not staying isolated and separated, right? So we have to make sure that we come in contact with the world in order to save it. And it's not only through, you know, thinking that, you know, with all the things that I named by, you know, seeking better legislations and you know, and marching and doing. No. We have to do it in a manner in which we're showing people this is the way God has prescribed it. All right, brother. Absolutely. So here's the thing. Here's the simple rule of thumb when dealing with this. We should come to grips with by which the Christian may decide whether he should or should not participate in any given community activity. But to help him do this is whether or not doing so would cause you to go against the truth or would hinder you from doing it, right? So if we participate with anything that compromises the truth or our convictions, those are the things we must refrain from. Right. And listen, we have that grace, right, through God. And it's not permission for us to be selfish either, right, or self-centered. We are not slaves to society, but we are obligated, right, to be a slave to God. So whether we should obey God the way he wants us to and show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, and honor the emperor. Right? So we just have to keep in mind that above all, that in Christ we're free. And we live in a world of sin. Right? And nobody said it best in 1 Corinthians 5:18 when he talked about, you know, you would have to be out of this world. Right? To be away from sin. You're going to be around it. It's going to be a part of the everyday life. If you have time, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 8 through 10 is a good place to start. And when you read it, I want you to understand that the simplicity of it is to not make company or have companionship, right, with those who practice lawlessness, right? It did not mean that... you should refuse all kinds of contact because we have to make contact in order to preserve, in order to teach, and in order to share the gospel. You're just not to treat them with civility or be engaged with them as if it is a transaction for you to be a part of their life, to what they're a part of. We have to be separate and apart. So basically, it's for us not to associate with them as to be esteemed or to belong with them. But we have to preach the truth. We got to stand up for the truth. You got to have the convictions that Brother James said. You got to be willing to stand up. But in the same token, we have to do so with love and good behavior. So I think that if we follow those things and do that, we have a responsibility to the community and we can follow it by God's pattern and still be a citizen and an upstanding citizen in this world. But also by doing what God says and focusing on the things that are above, we also have our citizenship that awaits us in heaven. So we have to take care of both. We have double the responsibility. So just be mindful of that as we continue to strive to be better men and women of God. Thank you all. So much. I love you guys. Yo, I'll always participate and love your comments. So I appreciate you all. And I don't know who's up next, but good luck.